Welcome to Season 3 of I Know, Do You? This season's hosts are Bradford and Brian Manning, who you may also know as the Two Blind Brothers. Bradford and Brian are known for their relentless advocacy and charitable work in the IRD community. This includes their clothing company, Two Blind Brothers, which donates 100% of all profits to support medical research efforts. Join the brothers as they explore genetic testing for inherited retinal diseases through both story and science. Spark Therapeutics is proud to sponsor I Know, Do You? And happy to welcome Bradford and Brian to the show.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, depending on where you are in the world. Brother Brad, how are you feeling today, buddy?
I am fantastic. There is nothing like being virtual with your younger brother. It's almost as good as being in person with him.
Well, at least you can't hit me like you did when we were growing up. Well, today, Brad, I have probably one of the greatest pleasures that we are going to have on this podcast. I want to introduce you to an amazing woman named Ashlyn Lincoln. She actually had a son, Gunner, who was diagnosed with LCA at a very early age. And I thought this would be an awesome chance for us to talk with Ashlyn, kind of as if we were talking to our mom. I would like to introduce you, Brad, and everyone listening to Ashlyn. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Wonderful. Wonderful. We're so excited because I think for Brian and I, this is a very special conversation. We were diagnosed as young kids, and running Two Blind Brothers, we have the benefit of meeting a lot of families. And one of the things that we find so fascinating is that when you're diagnosed with a condition when you're young, you don't have the perspective, the info, the frame of mind to even know what that means. And I know that, you know, your son was diagnosed with LCA at a very, very early age. Would you mind sharing that story with us?
We actually knew he had a visual impairment around 2 weeks old. We noticed there was something that just wasn't right. He wasn't focusing on anything, or he wasn't able to track mom and dad. We did have some doubts from his pediatrician. A lot of them thought that his eyes just weren't developed yet. We kind of persisted and got into some specialists. Basically, he was born and diagnosed blind at 4 months old. So this is kind of the Gunner that we've always known, and we were able to kind of take that lead as parents and kind of start planning out his life as just as another kid. So we were very grateful that we can make that decision at a very, very young age. Receiving the diagnosis was obviously very overwhelming. My husband and I, honestly, we did not know anybody visually impaired. We had no family history, so everything was quite new to us. We did a lot of learning, a lot of research, and that was pretty much the best that we can do at that moment, was just choose to give him a life just like his brother has.
One thing that I thought was really interesting is you said the pediatrician told you, oh no, this is nothing to be super alarmed about. His eyes are just developing. What was that conversation to, you know what, we're going to go get genetically tested to be sure?
So after the pediatrician still tried to tell us that his eyes were still developing, I did not feel okay with that answer. I just figured in the least we could just get pushed on to a specialist and they could give me that answer. The first specialist we saw honestly said that, look, this is out of my hands. This is more serious than we originally thought it was, and you need to go to another specialist. So our second specialist actually was a retina specialist, and she guided us right from there. Our kind of diagnosis process came with the testing. So we never had to kind of hunt or search down a doctor to help us find the genetic testing. It kind of came with the diagnosis. During all the testing, they did take blood work from all three of us, and it seemed so casual. They just did say that it was going to be part of learning his diagnosis. But they knew kind of what they were getting into pretty quickly.
When the doctors gave you Gunner's clinical diagnosis, what did they tell you about LCA?
They really didn't tell me much. They wrote it on the back of a business card and handed it to me.
Whoa.
Oh, God.
And I think it was just so I knew how to spell it so I could look it up.
Oh.
And we still saved it to this day just to keep as a memory. Like, this is where the adventure began.
Can you explain LCA and explain the clinical diagnosis a little bit? Brian and I are familiar with it, but maybe for folks who aren't.
So what they did, at least for us, the Leber's congenital amaurosis is a rare retina disorder. At the time of diagnosis, we got told there was about 5,000 cases. I know since more diagnoses have come out, that number has really risen a lot. And we just got told for us, it was a 25% chance that we would have a child with a visual impairment.
When that diagnosis comes, is it relief that you finally know what's happening? Or is it a difficulty because you're looking at the life ahead? Or is it just, okay, buckle down, this is the problem?
Well, it was still very overwhelming, and I'm running on not much sleep since he wasn't, you know, very good at sleeping at night still. And so that made it worse and more emotional, I think. I feel like we were handed the genetic testing results and then sent on our way. And so that really was confusing for us. And so we were able to do some research and have parents explain it just a little bit more to me. I think I found the most comfort in actually Facebook groups, because you can make a post and say, you know, I have a very young child here. We just got diagnosed. You know, he's 4 months old. Can you help me? And you have parents of older children of all ages posting their stories and saying, hey, like, he's going to do great. He can do everything other children can do. And, you know, you kind of find a support system through there pretty quickly, honestly.
So, Ashlyn, when you actually received the results of the genetic test and they're like, look, here's what it is. Here's the gene mutation. Did that make you think of any other considerations? I mean, you know, when somebody gets something like that, they might think about things like, oh, well, our future children might have this.
Our first concern was, is there any other health concerns that might be affiliated with LCA10 for him? And I think there was a kidney problem that might be affiliated with it. So we were able to watch that kind of with him, especially his younger years. And that was our first concern. Second, it really didn't phase us much more after that. And we just kind of left it at that. We didn't really want it to have any negative cloud or impact over, you know, the rest of our lives, our future lives. So we kind of just took it as a positive and kept on rolling.
And actually one other question, when Gunnar was diagnosed with LCA, obviously, you know, you and your husband got tested, you know, but then after you get this genetic test, I'm sure, like, you know, at most families we talk to, you start looking at kind of the future of medicine. Hey, where are these diseases going? Where are the treatments? Where are the cures? Because when Brad and I were diagnosed, you know, 25 years ago, the field, even though there was hope, the field was really pretty low probability that this was going to happen soon. And now when you look around, you see that there are all these clinical trials, you see that there are things coming. Does that give you hope for the future and that knowing your genetic test like lets you follow more closely, or do you not look at it as much?
I don't look at it as much. There is a lot of information to follow and kind of behind the scenes of it all. We kind of keep an eye on it, but we're not really up to date on it all. And that's honestly a question that we kind of want to leave for Gunnar when he gets older. If, you know, this is even a possibility or a choice that he would want to make, we don't feel the ones to make it for him.
Wow, that's such an interesting perspective. That's really cool. I haven't heard that before, but I think it's really enriching and empowering for him to make that call, because it is, at some level, his life to see where it goes.
Exactly.
What's Gunnar's favorite thing to do, by the way?
He actually loves to ride his bike and his scooter.
What? That's awesome. How does he ride his bike? Is it a tandem, or does he just rock and roll out there?
We just let him rock and roll.
I love your mentality and this idea of, hey, here are the expectations. This doesn't mean that you're not going to be as good or better than anyone in the world. You can achieve as much as you want to achieve, and it's entirely up to you how far you want to go in this life. And we're going to hold you to the same expectations we do your brother, with your best friend, your cousin, anybody. And that, I think, is such an empowering message to give a kid. Our mom, she would always phrase it as, you're lucky. You know what your biggest issue is. So congratulations. Now you know what the hurdle you have to jump is. Go jump it. And I'm curious, where did you get this mentality from? It is rare and it is very special.
Thank you. We did have really good support with those Facebook pages, kind of encouraging, you know, that parenting style. And we don't let the diagnosis really slow them down at all.
Do you have a favorite piece of advice you've been given?
Probably to relax. Because I just, in my world, I just have to be the one in control. I have to know what to do. I have to know the plan next. And that's kind of not how it works in this world anymore. So I've been told that quite often.
What advice would you pass along to that mom that maybe is listening to this in a hospital right now? What kind of advice would you pass on to these families?
To breathe, because I know it's a lot and I know it's overwhelming. And to persevere, because all you can do is push on and learn and, you know, help them be the best child that they can be. And, you know, I know every parent is capable of doing that and it's overwhelming at first. But as long as you breathe and persevere, you can do it too.
And so maybe moving forward a little bit, can you talk about like life today in terms of what kind of accommodations or, you know, do you keep in mind for Gunner? What kind of, are you involved with any advocacy or organizations? Or are you paying attention to any other sort of resources out there?
So today Gunner goes to the Tennessee School for the Blind. And so he has great accommodations there. He's excelling. They think he's gifted. But when you tell him that he's gifted, he thinks he's getting gifts. So we go back a step on that one. But he loves it there. He's doing great. I do love to advocate on his behalf. I feel like he kind of gives me that drive too. I do advocate with Sophia Sees Hope. They also kind of are in the IRD community. And they've been a great family to just work with, call up when you need resources. There's enough parents in it that can help find the resources. It's been great.
You know, what would you love to see and then, you know, for him over the course of his life? Is there any dreams or visions or aspirations that you have for him?
You know, it's year by year. I hope for him, he just is happy. And I hope he is empowered himself, you know, as he gets older into whatever activities he chooses or career-wise. I just hope he's happy with himself and confident.
Ashlyn, I can't tell you how much fun I had. This has been just awesome. The mentality you have, the spirit you have, the empowerment you give, and just your overall vibe, it blows me away. And you remind me so much of our mom who instilled a lot of those same values. And we are so grateful that for you to come on and spend some time with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great to talk with you guys.
Thank you so much, Ashlyn. It's such a pleasure. And with that, we can conclude this episode of I Know, Do You? On the next episode, we'll actually be talking to Stephen Dager and Emily Place all about genetic testing. Steve is the director of the Laboratory of Molecular Diagnosis of Inherited Eye Diseases at University of Texas, and Emily Place is a genetic counselor at Massachusetts Eye and Ear. We actually had the pleasure of meeting Stephen Dager at Visions 2018, the FFB conference, a couple years ago, so we're really looking forward to that. So we'll see you all next time. Ashlyn, thank you so much. Brian, thank you, and all the best.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to I Know, Do You? A podcast that discusses life with inherited retinal disease and the importance of genetic testing. You can find information about no-cost genetic testing as well as more stories from the inherited retinal disease community at iwanttoknow.com. If you enjoyed I Know, Do You? Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Spark Therapeutics sponsors iwanttoknow.com and the I Know, Do You? Podcast. Bradford and Brian Manning were compensated for their time and services for this podcast. We also want to thank each of our guests for taking the time to share their stories and knowledge.